Facebook himself.
Yeah.
He's right to the back of his head. And IDC is Facebook himself. They got money, too. What can you do? Swimming around in the chair, so that's why I'm asking you to say, okay.
Countries like China, Brazil, India have been substantial users of that mechanism.
Karnataka is lagging far behind, and that's a major opportunity on the table that we need to take. On the positive side, at the recent Copenhagen conference, South Africa played a very prominent role and started making some commitments, and that hopefully sets the context for the way South Africa is going to move going forward. And if we are going to fulfill what we've said there, we need to lead in implementation. And currently we are behind a number of countries in the world. If you look outside today, it's a good example of the type of sun that we have in South Africa. Some regions, I must admit, better than Cape Town. But there are some areas with very good wind, and both of those create good opportunities for us. We see countries with a lot less sun than South Africa making use of solar technology a lot more than we do. We've got a single electricity utility. On the one hand, that creates a theoretical opportunity because there's one institution that should be capable of moving fast. It's owned by the government, so it should be working in terms of the policies. But the reality is that it also creates a constraint because there's limited competition, there's limited opportunities to find alternate customers, and the green area is not necessarily the main priority because the main priority is security of supply at the moment. We're a developing country and green technologies are relatively expensive, which makes it challenging for us to play a leading role in terms of developing new technologies. But this is a new industry, and because it's new internationally, we have got an opportunity to catch up. We've got people at some of our universities who are fairly advanced in research. We've got, because things are changing, we can import technology and be relatively near the front of the curve. So, and especially if we are talking about becoming significant generators of renewables, South Africa can become a significant market. And the moment that happens, we can try and encourage local manufacture. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in the next slide. The low cost of local electricity is something we've always seen as an advantage. But sometimes it makes using green technologies non-viable. And the cost of electricity, as we all know, is growing, which is changing the equation. I'm going to give an overview of IDC's strategic approach and focus, and then I'll talk briefly through some of the different elements of this. One of the main drivers for IDC as an institution is job creation. And we see those opportunities in green industries as well. But what I want to highlight over here, right at the bottom of the slide, I'm talking about local manufacturing and procurement. And what I want to stress is that very often people think that some of these new technologies, solar, wind and so on, can create a lot of jobs. The reality is, if we're going to use them purely for generation, for the amount of investment they take, they create very few jobs. If we want to make an impact on job creation in some of those areas, we have to try and encourage local manufacturing. In some of the other areas which I'll talk about, there are greater opportunities for job creation, things like looking at waste management and so on. Depending on the route and the choices of technology we make as a country, we can go towards capital-intensive or more labor-intensive methodologies. One of the key challenges we've got in South Africa is security of energy supply, and that's one of the reasons that IDC, we felt we should, within the green, have a focus on energy. I mentioned Copenhagen, but also the Industrial Policy Action Plan has a strong focus on green technologies and on energy. We need to change the environment in which we live, in which we operate. And a number of our competitors are introducing measures to protect themselves. So if we want to export into Europe, or if we want to export to various markets, we need to make sure that we are operating in a green way, so that we can't be prevented from accessing those markets. in the area, the range of the areas that we're talking about, firstly energy efficiency, renewable energy, and you all heard some discussion around that this morning, waste management. An area that we're putting some attention to currently is carbon-friendly transport, and then there's biofuels. And what we'd like to see underpinning all of that, as I mentioned, is as far as possible local manufacturing and procurement. In terms of funding for the different technologies, some of the challenges that we see, very often they require very long-term funding. And the commercial banks generally would prefer to lend for relatively shorter periods, which makes it a bit unattractive at times. The margins often tend to be lower, not in all cases. In some cases they can be quite attractive, but by and large we are looking at low margins because it's new technologies, it's new, and they haven't reached maturity yet. There are limits on the markets for some of the products, whether it's recycling products or on energy sales, electricity sales, for example, you need a power purchase agreement. Very often for these types of products there's low levels of security, which also make it relatively unattractive for banks at times. So there need to be innovative funding structures, we need to look at different sources of funding. Often in the green arena, development finance institutions like the IDC play a key role, and very often there's direct government involvement around the world. And that could be through funding measures, but as well as regulatory measures as well. The typical funders are obviously commercial banks. I mentioned the development finance institutions. Through the carbon trading mechanism, they are carbon buyers, and there are a number of intermediaries as well, the traders in carbon credits. The types of instruments, it could range from equity, debt, carbon finance, renewable feeding tariffs, carbon taxes, subsidies, and regulations, which can impact on the funding costs, which can make some types of investments more attractive and others less attractive. The roles that IDC plays, firstly, we can be a direct funder. And that could be debt or equity, it could include guarantees. But it's not enough for IDC as a government institution to be funding these. We need to get the private sector involved. So one of the key roles that we see is trying to crowd in other funders. And we do that in a couple of ways. Firstly, we develop new projects. And that brings them to the stage where they are bankable and it becomes attractive for other investors. But we also need to lead the way in terms of demonstrating the viability of investments. So being the first mover, proving something can be viable, proving that it does make sense for, it's possible to make a commercial return. And what we often find is banks are happy to co-invest once they see that IDC has done a due diligence. And they're happy to share the risk with us. In the last few years, there's been a lot of attention given to the green industry, and green funds have started becoming available from international governments and international development finance institutions, like the International Finance Corporation, the World Bank, Proparco in France, KfW in Germany, and so on. And we actively trying to develop, well, we have got relationships with those institutions, but what we're actively exploring at the moment is specifically trying to see what sources of, where possible concessional funding are available for green funding in South Africa. I mentioned the carbon credit market is relatively underutilized in South Africa, and we see a role for ourselves in helping to develop and establish that market. I'll talk further on about some of the range of different government agencies and departments that are involved, but we see ourselves working very closely with other agencies, and there's a need for coordinating some of those activities. I'm not going to talk in detail, you'll have this detail in the slides that have been sent through. I'm not going to talk in detail through all of these slides, so I'll just highlight a few things, and you're welcome to ask any questions. But in the area of energy efficiency, three of the focus areas we've got in terms of for households, direct heat transfer through things like solar water heaters and heat pumps. Then in terms of manufacturing, improvements in industrial processes. And an area which is very new to IDC, it's an area we haven't traditionally been involved with at all, is we're looking at sustainable buildings and energy efficiency in those areas. Some of the drivers which make this attractive are things like the rapid increases in electricity. There have been some incentives that have been announced. There have been demand-side management programs that have been introduced. But together with that, there are barriers. I mentioned that key to job creation is local manufacturing. On things like solar water heaters, we've got very little local manufacturing capacity. There's been relatively slow progress in terms of the rebate schemes, in terms of the demand-side management support. They have been introduced, they have been rolled out, but to achieve the momentum that's needed, those interventions need to be strengthened. I must hasten to mention, maybe at this stage, some of the perspectives that we'll be giving you will be different from organizations like NERSA and so on, because we sit on the market side. We sit on the project implementation side, and we're looking at the constraints from the point of view of investors. There's relatively few companies that have been established in terms of energy service, in terms of energy auditing, in terms of advising companies, in terms of savings. There's a need and an opportunity for greater regulatory interventions in terms of things like buildings. Some of these things are on the table and they are being looked at, but we'll only see momentum picking up once they're put in place. In areas like sustainable buildings and industrial processes, very often there's limited awareness. I mentioned right at the beginning that there are low margins for some of these investments. But if you start looking at sustainable buildings and energy efficiency, especially at the current cost of electricity, there are major opportunities for investments which are extremely viable, which make a lot of commercial sense. But businesses often aren't aware of them, it's not on top of mind. They think first about investing in new equipment rather than investing in energy efficiency, even though sometimes the payback is a lot quicker. The advantage of things like solar water heaters, if we can successfully set up the mechanisms, and that includes the funding mechanisms, the regulatory, the demand side management, and so on, it's something that can have a very short time frame to implement. It can save money for consumers, and we mentioned a figure here of about 5,000 megawatts by 2016. That's equivalent to building a new power station, which can be saved in a relatively few years without the pollution that gets created by the coal generation. Some of the challenges, some of these things are fairly established in places like the United States, Europe, and so on. But we need our own data, our own case studies, we need to study the wind profiles, we need to study the solar profiles and so on in particular regions of the country. We need the industry standards for commercial buildings. Funding models, we've got challenges, and a lot of these things are not unique to South Africa. But very often buildings, the tenants and the owners have different interests. So if the owner of the building invests in making the building more energy efficient, if the tenant isn't prepared to pay for that, and if there's no incentive for the owner to move in that direction, and sometimes the tenant is paying for the electricity costs directly, so the owner is making the investment for saving for the tenant. In terms of the Public Finance Management Act and the Municipal Finance Management Act, there are certain constraints in terms of the way organizations like IDC can invest, in the ways municipalities can procure certain services, which often make it fairly time consuming. Briefly talk through some of the initiatives that we've taken in terms of funding energy efficiency. We're in the process of working together with the French and the Germans on doing a study on the South African market to try and identify energy efficiency and renewable energy funding opportunities. We haven't waited for this, so while the study is going on, we have been making investments directly. We have examples of that. We have funded some solar water heater companies to manufacture locally, even though the capacity is still relatively small if the industry takes off substantially at the levels that we would hope it does. We are working closely with established electricity supply companies and the Clinton Foundation to try and encourage retrofitting of buildings. I touched on the last one. We were working with international development fund institutions to try and source international funding at competitive rates. In terms of waste to energy, this includes things like municipal waste, but it also includes things like animal waste and general organic waste. I do touch on it on a later slide, but one of the interesting early projects we invested in was something to take pig waste and extract methane from that and generate carbon credits. And it should be possible, if it scales up on some of these things, to actually generate electricity out of this as well. Now, this can be used to generate electricity, and the refit assists in that respect. Often municipalities have to pay to dispose of their waste. We're running short of landfill sites, so all of these things provide opportunities to move in these areas. But there are barriers as well. IDC, I mentioned the PFMA and the IDC Act, we are not mandated to finance municipalities where a lot of these landfills are sitting, although CEF, which is a sister organization, is mandated for many of the landfill sites, which might introduce cooperation opportunities. The refit implementation, the relatively slow progress in terms of that does create a challenge in terms of our developing some of these projects. We need to make sure there's sufficient waste available and a continuous supply of waste to make these viable in the long term, justify the investment. One of the things which I noticed there were questions about this morning, the threshold for the refit starting at 1 megawatt. For things like organic waste, it's often difficult to try and do this on a large scale. So a lot of the projects that we're looking at are relatively small scale, so they won't qualify in terms of refit. And the power purchase agreements, if we are using these things for electricity generation, we can't progress to a commercial stage until there's clarity on the power purchase agreements. Some of the things we've been working on, funding specific projects, we're looking at a bankable feasibility study for fresh produce market. They generate a lot of waste and they currently have to pay to get the waste removed from their site. So there's an opportunity to use that to generate electricity. We're looking at compressed natural gas. We're looking at it to power one of the projects that we're looking at is trying to move towards trucks and buses fueled by alternative fuels. And one of the sources of the compressed natural gas we're looking at is using natural biogas. And we're working with one of the universities to look at trying to set up a commercial operation for that on a pilot basis. I've mentioned municipal solid waste and the animal waste, and we're looking at other biogas projects as well. in terms of waves to energy, you start seeing some fairly common themes coming through in terms of some of the drivers and some of the barriers. So I'm not going to talk through them again. But some of the issues around waste to energy again relate to the power purchase agreements, the relative costs, the long tenors of debt, and so on. Outside of energy, there are major opportunities in terms of recycling and waste management. We are relatively far behind some of the developed economies in terms of separation and utilization of our waste. And there's a number of different areas that we can look at, whether it's paper, cans, plastic, electronic, metal scrap. Some of these areas, like paper and cans, are relatively more advanced than others. There are major opportunities to save landfill space. The cost of disposal are extremely high. There might be opportunities to combine this with energy saving. But to exploit these opportunities, we need to look at issues like regulation to separate at source. Some of these are small applications. This very often is difficult to attract investors here because it's seen as a dirty industry, a hazardous industry, and it needs to be well managed. The returns on investment are often extremely low. So there needs to be some mechanisms in place to help support this industry. But if we can get it off the ground successfully on a significant scale, there are major opportunities for job creation as well as import replacement. Another area with major opportunities for job creation are using wood biomass, whether it's waste or trying to create or to manufacture pellets. There are a number of programs which are looking at this, including government programs. There are local and international players. South Africa, even the industrial players, often tend to use coal, and there's opportunities to switch them towards using more environmentally friendly products, more renewable products. On wood pelleting, we have currently invested in two pellet producers who are producing wood pellets for international markets currently. And in fact, there are certain production challenges we're experiencing because our wood is different from the wood in other countries. But in terms of a market, we're not capable of meeting the international demand. But where we see the major opportunity is not just in producing it, but if we can switch our local boilers to using pellets, then we create a local market and we become more environmentally friendly as well. On the generation side, there's a significant opportunity in terms of wind power. It is in certain specific locations, it's not throughout the country. Some of the challenges, the long environmental impact assessment that's required, you need detailed assessment of the particular site, the wind conditions and so on. I mentioned the PPAs and the refit. But the other area that requires additional work is the second integrated resource plan. And once that's in place, it makes it easier to plan for the longer term. We are involved, we're not waiting for those things. There are a number of other people looking at projects in the country, but IDC specifically is currently looking at 13 wind projects. Some examples, we currently in our pipeline, we've got 1,600 megawatts of wind projects at various stages, some are very early stage. So we're working on developing them to bring them to commercial stage. There's a specific initiative which we find particularly interesting, which is moving away from purely the generation, but a manufacturer. There is a local manufacturer that we are partnering with of wind turbines, but it's developed in South Africa. They're using local content, but it's relatively unproven, and they're struggling to raise finance. they haven't generated orders yet, and we're working with them to try and test their product with potential customers. Ironically, the first commercial stage project that we're looking at is not in South Africa, it's in Kenya. And as you're aware, IDC invests throughout the African continent, but South Africa, the regulatory framework and the power purchase agreements aren't in place, but in Kenya, the environment is in place, so we're able to do a commercial level investment there, whereas in South Africa, we're at the pre-commercial stage in the projects that I mentioned. But this is something that gets us quite excited as well, because if we can exploit the potential for utilizing wind power, solar power throughout the African continent, and we can generate South African manufacturers, it actually creates a strong manufacturing base for exports. In terms of solar energy, we're looking at photovoltaic as well as concentrated solar power. In concentrated, we're looking at trap as well as towers. There has been work done in South Africa and thin film. There are also assembly plants which we have helped fund in South Africa to assemble photovoltaics. But photovoltaics are relatively high investment cost per megawatt, and it's often difficult to sell into the grid. But they're well suited for relatively smaller, more localized generation. Concentrated solar power, on the other hand, is well suited for the refit type of production, but it's a very high investment cost. The technology is relatively new worldwide, although there have been some commercial plants set up, it's not a fully mature technology either. There are other opportunities in terms of looking at things like small hydro plants. South Africa is not a water-rich country, so there aren't major hydro opportunities in the country, although there are in some of our neighboring countries. Biofuels, this is a slide that was added on after the presentation was sent to you. I must apologize for that. IDC is very actively involved with the biofuels sector. We are involved in looking at sugar beet, grain sorghum, sugar to ethanol in more than one location. We're sitting at different phases, ranging from pre-feasibility up to pre-implementation. And the intention is to mix this with our normal petrol and distribute this for vehicle use. This is a summary of our pipeline, giving a feel for some of the types of projects we're involved with, the different sizes, the different regions. I've touched on some of these previously. Something which I haven't highlighted is we are also looking at a South African manufactured electric car. We've been involved as they've developed the product through the venture capital stage. We're now at the developing pilot vehicles, testing them at the pre-manufacturing stage, and we're moving towards the next stage, which will be full commercial production. And the intention is that this will be a South African labeled car, South African mark, with a fully manufactured in South Africa. And it's something which we probably will need support from the South African government to actually get it off the ground, as happens in other countries around the world. As IDC, we've allocated over 11 billion rand over the next number of years to invest in the green area. And that includes whether it's debt as well as equity. So hopefully a number of these projects that we're showing here will get through to the commercial stage, and there'll be new projects coming on stream. And if all of these are successful, we believe we will successfully be able to invest these funds. We need to integrate our approach, because IDC is involved with a lot of different areas, and we need to make sure that we think green in everything we do, and we need to make sure that best practice is transferred within the organization and also with other organizations that we interact with. We need to make sure that, and this in particular, you see a lot of the presentation and in the next two slides, I'm talking about the regulatory environment, some of the different stakeholders and so on. In particular, because in talking to you as an organization, in talking to government, I think it's important that you all understand some of the environmental opportunities and challenges that we need to put in place. You have been hearing a lot about the REFIT and the power purchase agreements. One of the things that we keenly awaiting is the cogeneration feed-in tariff, so that manufacturers, industries can actually generate their own electricity and sell that. The integrated resource plan, the first one is in place, but having the next one in place will create greater certainty, because there are opportunities to create a lot more generating capacity than the IRP1 currently caters for. Things like demand-side management, solar water heaters, the framework for independent power producers, regulation on energy efficiency in buildings, the energy management systems, clarity on the role of carbon taxes, which has been announced. We feel there are opportunities to look more at tax and subsidies for green areas. Environmental impact assessments sometimes take very long, and we've got a very strong EIA process in the country, which does protect consumers, which does protect the country, but at times, because of the time scale that it takes and the processes that are involved, it often delays projects. One of the things I spoke about was the carbon credit. One of the constraints which there are opportunities to improve on is improving the capacity and the speed at which we can process approval of the carbon credits. It does happen within the country. I touched on the Public Finance Management Act and the Municipal Finance Management Act. Both are necessary pieces of legislation, and they do assist in terms of ensuring that proper financial management is in place, but at times it does place constraints on making key decisions. There are a wide range of institutions that are involved across government. And I mean, it ranges like from organizations like IDC, COOLA, Development Bank, NEF, ITAC, Central Energy Fund, NASA, ESCOM, number of government departments, which creates a lot of opportunities, because there are a lot of people who are looking for opportunities, developing opportunities, but each has its own role. At the same time, we need to make sure that we are working closely together to make sure that we don't work at cross purposes and we utilize and exploit all the opportunities that are there. So as IDC, the approach that we would like to take, and it's a challenge that we've been given by our minister as well, that we need to lead from the front through example. We need to help mobilize funding for green initiatives, even where it cuts across other agencies. We need to engage and work with them. And we want to work closely with the other agencies. We're starting a process of workshopping with them to make sure that there is strong alignment between what we're doing and what the other agencies are doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Do you want to add on this, Andrew? Sure. Okay. Honorable members, the floor is yours. Can I get any hands? so this presentation was so good, Mr. Mir, the sickness and all that. That, oh, there he is, a man. Honorable Lees, Honorable Bamere, Honorable Sanclair. Honorable, what's your hand up? Oh, just before you, let me also take this opportunity in welcoming Honorable, I forgot your name, the man all the way from Pumalanga, Jomo Nyambi. Honorable Sinclair, you are so obsessed with Malema, I don't know. Marichali, I think you must bring him a photo of Malema, picture. But let's welcome Honorable Nyambi. He's all the way from Pumalanga. Thank you for joining us, Honorable Nyambi, and welcome to the committee. Honorable Lees?
Chairman, the IDC's role, I can just get a grip on this in terms of the renewable energy is to encourage it at every level, I assume. So the projects which are in the pipeline, some of them are, I assume, are quite big and some are quite small. You know, are we looking at small domestic projects as well as larger projects? I'm just keen to get a grip on that, because you see on the solar projects, it's 50 megawatts, 125 megawatts, 125 megawatts. So I presume those are CSP projects rather than small PV projects. And then the wind is also a big project. Is there no, you know, there's a small waste one of 1 megawatt. But are there no smaller projects that you're trying to get going as a kind of stepping stone to proliferate small generation facilities throughout the country, particularly in rural areas?
About the time, what it takes to
get something going in South Africa. And this EIA has now become a new animal that is wanting many of the developmental initiatives. I just want to use one example that recently came to my mind, that was recently given to me. You know, in the Free State, there's an office of the South African Heritage Resource Agency. Now, the EIA naturally is part of that process. And to my amazement, when I investigated the issue, I met to the people, although it's now a different province in the Northern Cape. It came out that this office has got one individual that must do the whole Free State. But on top of that office, the email has been off for more than 5 months. So everything is now being stopped in terms of potential development because of that, can I say, administrative blunder. Now, once again, the IDC, you know, I agree that they're not in the political sphere and so on, but this is the type of challenges that I think that we need to overcome if we really want to engage and invest in these opportunities. Which brings me to the second issue, is the one about the biofuels, which Mr. Meir then added as a new initiative. With due respect, I mean, government has been going forward and backwards for how many years, Mr. Meir? I suppose you're tired of biofuels now. But because of, with due respect towards the policymakers and government, no very strong strategic and political drive. And that is the problem. And that is also one of the challenges that we're sitting here. And we had a very good discussion the other day with the minister. You know, I'm always grateful when the minister comes because he's one of the few ones that comes to listen. But he also said, he told us that he engaged the IDC leadership and says, what you said, lead by example. So it brings me to the issue about the rollout of the plans, which adds then the third issue that I want to raise. If we really want to be the front runner in Africa, not in Kenya or whatever, but in all Africa, using our opportunities in South Africa, in a greater scheme of things, don't you think we must, from a government perspective, recapitalize the IDC and give it a major financial boost and a capital injection to do these many things that you say high cost, you know, it's too... And that is the difference between maybe developing countries like South Africa and maybe China, you know. When the Chinese decide to do something, they do it. But we still struggle, and this one and that one, and I don't even want to speak about the political undertones, you know, involving all these things and so on. Now, Mr. Chairperson, and I'm not asking a question, I'm making a statement, don't stop me. But we've got the resources. I'm from the Northern Cape. The biggest river runs through the Northern Cape. But the IDC complain of a lack of water. How do you justify it? Solar plant in Upington. Orange River passes there, but IDC is motivated, a lack of water. If we want to make these things work, we must think out of the box. That's the only way that we will be the front runner in terms of that alternative energy and the green economy. Honorable Bihari.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I am from Limpopo province. Where did you let Malema come from? Staying there, and then now in the rural areas, so people are using the big toilets. And if those toilets are full, they will move around the whole yard, picking the other one after the other. So I just want to know if ever there's anything that they can do to help them, because I could see that they're working with animal waste and organic waste. That's my question. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, while we're on the topic, municipal sewage, every municipality has got that, and I believe that Fitz University is the only one that's done research on that, and I'm wondering how costly that project would be per production. And the other issue is the, I don't know why it's coming so, the contractual framework of power purchase agreement, to what extent is that going to influence the development of our green industries? Because what worries me, if we have to do 5,000 megawatts by 2016, what budget do we have to back up?
I think one of the reasons that we have called this, the IDC also, was to come and give us a breakdown and a briefing on, I think it's something that you committed yourself, taking into correction, 5 billion for the next 5 years for the green economy,
mm-hmm.
11 billion for the green economy. I think that was one of the things that you've asked the IDC. In terms of how they will do it, and also in terms of the provinces, the breakdown of the provincial governments, because in the NCOP, you know, all of us represent the province. We are permanent delegates of provinces. Mr. Mayor, if you can just enlighten us on that, the way forward with the 11 billion, the breakdown, if you haven't got at hand, you can always send it down to the committee secretary. Let you have it and we can distribute it amongst the members. Over to you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Chair. To start with the size of the renewable energy things we look at, IDC does not look at relatively small investments. That's more the space of organizations like Kula. But part of what we've recognized, some of the, as a member, honourable member, rightly mentioned, some of these things that we're looking at are quite substantial, truck and so on. But some of the things we're looking at do include things like biogas out of waste and so on, which don't generate a lot of electricity. If some of it is even below 1 megawatt, some of the things we're looking at. So not everything is listed in that sheet there. Those are the more significant ones. On things like solar water heaters, you'll see mentioned in here, that's something which is very much at a house-by-house basis. And there have been attempts by the banks to fund that by including it as part of their bonds and so on, but it hasn't really taken off. What we are trying to do as an institution, we can't lend to a single consumer, but we're trying to work with electricity supply companies to do it on a commercial large scale, where we would fund them to install a number of solar water heaters for a particular municipality on a commercial basis. So we're trying to address the small scale through things like that. On the question, and there was a related question related, so it does include domestic, but indirectly. We would not directly fund domestic. In terms of rural, some of the, in fact, would say probably the majority of the projects we're looking at are in rural areas because it's often best suited where land is relatively cheap, areas like Northern Cape where there's land and good sun and so on. On EIAs, I think two members referred to them. We're finding it is still a challenge. It's still taking considerable time to work through the process. It's not for me to comment on whether on the process, details of the process itself from a regulatory point of view, but from an investor point of view, it does at times make it challenging to put an investment together because of the long lead times, and we're trying to attract other investors to co-invest with us, sometimes international investors, and if they have to make a decision long in advance with the uncertainties and so on. It is still something that we struggle with, not just in the green arena, but in a number of the projects that we develop ourselves. In terms of the RFP from NERSA, and will it lead to delays? I hope not. But I hope that between NERSA and ESKOM, they come to the table very quickly in terms of power purchase agreements and requests for proposals. It's something outside our hands. But the indications we've been given from NERSA and ESKOM is that they expect progress within the next few months. The approach we have taken is that we are not waiting for that, as I mentioned. We are working on developing projects, because to develop projects does take a long time, and we're hoping those things fall in place before we reach the stage that we need to get to a commercial, large-scale investment decision. The location of the sugar to ethanol, or the sugar, is the Makatini Flats in KwaZulu-Natal. The waste to energy venture.
The one waste to energy project that we actually done and approved for investment in the feasibility studies was the KZN University, and it is in that region. And that's a relatively small project, it's just 2 megawatts. So it is in KZN, and we're looking at combining with that a master's degree on that type of technology that we want to incorporate and developing in our skills lab.
In terms of whether Southern Africa versus the rest of Africa, I think the Honourable Member is correct. It is a priority of the South African government, the SADC region. And as IDC, we see within Africa, SADC as our main focus area. The one project, when I referred to it twice, I realized, but it's one project, one investment in Kenya. In the green arena, we've only been very active in the last year or two, so we haven't done that many investments. But we're currently looking at engaging with a Namibian company, looking at wind generation, but it's still very early stage. In terms of some of those Honourable Members Sinclair, I'm not sure if they have questions or comments, but in terms of biofuel, we are at the moment fairly positive. As I was talking about our approach, we've taken the same approach in biofuels as we've taken in terms of energy generation, when we've actually started working on projects. We've started engaging with local communities to grow the crops. We've been engaging with local and international players, people like the Brazilians who have some expertise in the area. We are reasonably advanced in terms of a few projects, in terms of developing biofuels, putting both the growing and the production of biofuels in place. We've been actively engaging with government, and we're fairly positive that we will arrive at suitable mechanisms, that there will be an agreement in terms of blending biofuels. In terms of whether there's a need to recapitalize IDC, it's a topic that's been debated in the press and in Parliament. At this stage, we are sufficiently capitalized. We are making investments, and in fact our levels of investments have been growing on an annual basis. If all the investments that we would like to do take place or are realized in all the areas, including the 11 billion we're talking about for green, and in fact let me tie this in with that question on the 11 billion rand for green. What we do is we take a 5 to 10 year view in terms of the different sectors in the country, in terms of government priorities, industrial policy, and we look at the types of projects that we can possibly develop, and where we think there's going to be future demand, and where we think we can have the maximum impact in terms of things like job creation, regional impact across the different provinces, and so on. And we allocate money across different sectors. So the 11 billion rand that we've allocated for green, a large portion of that on one of the slides where we've highlighted, the computer switched off, but the slide which talks to the projects and those few hundred megawatts worth of projects. If all of those do get PPAs, if all of those do get through to the commercial stage and we end up funding them, that will make up a substantial portion of the 11 billion rand just those alone. And there are other things which we hope to develop as time goes on as well. But, and if in the same way that we've allocated this for green, if all the projects that we're working on do materialize and they do require funding, we will run short of funds within the next, in the medium term, let me put it that way. And then there might be a need for a debate on recapitalization well prior to that happening. But there are different options in terms of funding, but that's something which we may need to look at going forward. In terms of toilets, the potential use of the waste, I think there are potential sources or use. It is possible to use that waste to generate methane gas, generate carbon credits. The challenge for an organization like IDC, we don't operate on the small scale of an individual, of toilets per se, but going back to the answer I gave to an earlier question, where the opportunity comes in is if we can work through a commercial entity which can come up with a viable approach where they would find ways of doing collection from a range of different sources and then bring it all together and do a commercial size plant. And there are those types of opportunities. Rensha mentioned the pilot project that we're looking at with the University of KZN. That's a similar type of project where we want to set up a pilot plant to see this first plant would be set up, in fact, I think, at the university premises, but then they would collect the waste from the surrounding rural areas surrounding the. And if this pilot works out and it looks commercially viable, there might be opportunities to roll it out throughout the country. In terms of municipal sewage, in a similar way, there are opportunities. We haven't engaged with this university specifically, but maybe it's something that we can follow up with on. I think it's useful information to have, and we can try and explore what they have done and whether there are opportunities to cooperate with them. The contractual framework of PPAs and the impact on green, I touched on that in my answer to an earlier question. I think that's critical. We are working on developing the projects. We're not waiting for the PPAs to be put in place and the contractual framework to be put in place. But for the projects to be viable, the contractual framework has to be appropriate. And we have engaged as part of the consultation processes in the past, and we will engage going forward, both as IDC, but also as investors in particular projects, together with our project partners. We will have to make sure, as I mentioned earlier, we're sitting on the other side from Eskom and NERSA in these discussions, so we'd have to make sure that it does suit the needs of us and private sector investors to make sure that the frameworks are appropriate. In fact, that's one of the, maybe just a side comment, one of the strengths and one of the reasons, or one of the opportunities for IDC, is that the fact that we are a government institution, and we're here to implement government policy. At the same time, we're working with the private sector, and we operate in the commercial investment project development sector. So it gives us the opportunity to see both sides of the picture and allows us to make inputs on some of these debates. in terms of the provincial split, Chair, I don't have that information here. We can send some information through. Is that specifically on green or for IDC investments in general, which you'd like it?
We can combine the two, the green and the IDC investments, will help us, the committee. You can send that through to the committee secretary. Honorable Flamingo?
Thank you for the opportunity. And if I can invite that into the various sectors that they invest. And then they also have specifically a BEE fund that I would like the same analysis on.
Thank you. Okay. Just before you carry on, we also recognize the presence of Ms. Taitai in our midst from the ministry. Welcome.
Chair, can I just clarify on the BEE fund? We don't have our main focus at the moment. At some stage we did in the relatively, as the BEE markets were developing, we played a role in terms of funding BEE acquisitions. Currently our focus in terms of BEE is to encourage expansionary BEE. So we help small and medium BEE entrepreneurs to develop into larger BEE entrepreneurs. So while we do have some funds which are to assist black entrepreneurs in terms of their equity contribution and so on, a lot of our BE activities are integrated into our normal business. So the majority of the expansionary investments, which the job creating investments that we do, do involve our empowered businesses. But it's not a separate activity out of a separate fund that we do. But we can give some information on BEE as well.
Thank you. Ms. Fatone, you want to add something?
I think if I may, just one of the things that we find as a, I don't want to call it a challenge or struggling block, but it's something that I think it's just worth noting here is the fact that we do not always have project developers who are prepared to come put equity into a project and take some risk. So when they come to the IDC, they really come with an idea or with a very early stage project that they've scoped at a high level, and they expect us to come in and assist them to really hold their hand and develop that project. And in many cases, we cannot be 100% owner of a project, so we will assist them to participate in the equity and in the funding of that, to develop the project. By doing that, also attract other investors. So I think that's also something that we are seeing more and more, a limited number of project developers who are prepared to actually take that risk and develop projects.
If I could just add to that, I realized that I didn't answer one of the questions when Rachel mentioned this, because it relates to the PFMA and MFMA. What Rachel gave is one of the examples of something, a constraint we've got in terms of the PFMA. We cannot take a controlling stake in a project without treasury permission. Now, the nature of our business is developing projects. So each time we want to develop a project and take a majority stake, or if it's a project which is under development and it runs into problems and it requires us to increase our stake to recapitalize it, we have to apply to treasury, and there are delays, time delays and so on. So that is an example of, and there are, I can understand the reasoning behind having some of these constraints in the PFMA, but for organizations like IDC, because investment is our core business, it sometimes makes it difficult to operate.
Right, honorable members, let me take the last round. Let me see. One. Another Nambi. And then we close up here. Another Nambi.
The first check. The presentation is really informative and assisting. Of the question, giving a different view. which are in terms of manifest. But there's a slide where we're indicating that part of your approach is that you will be workshopping all the relevant stakeholders. So maybe an understanding in relation to us after this presentation. Don't you think maybe there's a need for us to take it further where we'll be taken through in terms of workshop so that we can broaden understanding unlike it is now so that we can be able to understand it better? Thank you, Chair.
What that refers to is that it's saying that basically we as an institution, we are trying to do certain things in the green arena. NERSA, which is another state-owned institution, has certain other objectives. There's a National Empowerment Fund, there's a Central Energy Fund, there's ESCOM, and what we want to do is make sure that we are talking enough to each other as institutions and that we make sure that we're all pulling in the same direction. I think we'd be happy at some stage once as the picture becomes clearer in terms of the different institutions that we do come back to this committee and give our views. I think we'd welcome that opportunity. At this stage, it's the start of the process for us, which is probably going to take some time, but we would be happy to provide that information.
Does that answer covers your own room now? Okay. Then it seems that afternoon is really caught. The members, they are looking a bit tired and sugar levels are a bit down, it seems. On that note, Mr. Meer and Ms. Van Donder, thank you very much for availing yourself also, as once again said. And thank you for coming down to Cape Town and honoring the invitation. It's good. I think it's the first time that the IDC appears before the committee now. I think IDC has been a month now that the functions of the IDC has been shifted over to economic development, a month or two. A few months. April, okay. Thank you very much, and we'll engage much more. We were at the IDC offices in Centrum. Do you remember on the Mofanninga? Yeah, but that was last year. This year they've got 11 billion. They've got money. That was last year. Thank you very much. And on that note, I don't know if you want to just say a parting shot or something.
Yeah, I just want to thank the committee again for the opportunity to present.
Honourable members, is there any burning issue from your side? Nothing. We've got fire location standby. Nothing. Mashallah. Slav. Falangun. Aik. Ithrik. Nyambi. Khoshi.
The real Mashia teacher person, if they can come to Limpopo, because they are fighting in Kwazulu Natal. They also come to Limpopo and then they are sent.
Okay, we will request them to go to Limpopo. You must take their details, because there's the renewable and waste. You must talk to Mr. Nguyen, you must come in, and Madam Fantonda, they must go to Limpopo, to go there to Tihali Velo and Tihali Velich. Yeah, and then as a workshop, the people there about how the waste could be recycled and be renewed, and the Tihali Veil must turn green. Honourable Lees?
My only comment, Mr. Chairman, is that the IDC go with is an initiative and innovation, and clearly that's happening in KwaZulu-Natal.
That is true, Honourable Gamere. the Premier Zelenskyy is doing a good job, leading by example there. On that note, also welcome to the media. Sorry that you haven't welcomed the media present. But on that note, members of the meeting stands adjourned. Thank you very much.